I have a little speech I'm going to read to you. I hope it's not too boring. So, and then we can talk all about photography. So before I begin, I want to share with you all a little secret that I have. So please don't tell anyone else that I told you this. But being a photojournalist, it's the best job in the business. I think, don't get me wrong, I think being a reporter is wonderful also, and a writer. And I'm glad that I get to work with such brilliant reporters every single day. All right, so I get to work with these brilliant reporters every single day. And I'm sure that many of you will graduate from Renmin University and become successful reporters yourselves. All right. But I was just saying that I am very lucky in my job because I am also a reporter, and I get to be a reporter every single day. But the difference is I use a camera instead of a notebook. I am very lucky because I can't take pictures over the telephone. I can't call someone up and take their picture. I can't sit in an office and do my job. I have to be out in the real world. So my office, it's not some tiny little cube in a big building in Manhattan. My office is New York City. My office is the United States. And on very good days, my office is the world. To be honest, actually, most days my office is actually my car because I do a lot of driving. But I think you understand what I'm saying. I'm reminded of the fact that being a photojournalist is one of the best jobs every single day. For me, getting a job at the New York Times was a dream come true. It's something that I hoped for and I dreamed of every single day since the first day I picked up a camera. It's not the easiest job in the world, and sometimes it can be very stressful. It's a very demanding job. But I cannot imagine doing anything else. It is the only thing that I can think of ever doing in my job, and frankly, I don't think I'm qualified to do anything else. Okay, so as young journalists, why would you want to enter into a field where you know you're not going to make a lot of money, you're probably not going to get famous, and in fact, some of you won't be even able to get jobs once you graduate in this very difficult market? Why do we do this? It's because it is of the utmost importance. In fact, it is crucial what we do. Without good journalists, who will tell the stories of the weak and the vulnerable, the people who have no voice of their own? Who will uncover corruption and graft in our governments? Who will hold our officials accountable? Who will shed light on the many injustices in our world that tries so desperately to hide in the shadows? If you don't do that, if we don't do that as journalists, no one else will. Okay, so that's enough about the serious stuff. What I want to tell you about is why would you want to get into this field? And for me, the main part is because it's just a lot of fun. It's a great, great job. As a visual journalist, I also get to report the news, I get to meet wonderful people, but as a photographer, I get to be creative every single day. My job, which sometimes is very hard, is very challenging to do, is to figure out how to best tell the story in images rather than in words. And this can be both a blessing and a curse. I unfortunately don't have the luxury of going back into the past to hear how a story began or how it happens. I don't have the ability to go into the future and predict how a story may predict the outcome of a story. My reporting is and can only be done in the present. For me, there are no second chances. If you miss a moment, it's gone forever. You can talk about it, you can write about it, but once that moment has passed, you can't photograph it. I know this doesn't sound like fun. It sounds a little stressful, actually, and yes, sometimes it is stressful. But I want to tell you, in what other job could you possibly be doing a list of experiences like this? One day covering the G20 Economic Summit in Pittsburgh, watching as the protesters battle with police under clouds of tear gas, the next day at the White House, taking pictures of the President and First Lady of the United States as they dance to salsa music, or the next day floating in the cargo hold of a Boeing 727 as it does zero gravity simulation runs, I got to experience the feeling of weightlessness of being in space. Can't imagine having those experiences in any other profession. In what other job could you travel to the Amazon and meet the elders of a tiny tribe on the verge of extinction? Just a few days later, be sitting at the front row of a New York City fashion show. I can't think of any profession that would allow that range. And these assignments that I all mentioned were all done in the span of about a month while working at the New York Times. These are experiences that most people would never have in their entire lives, most people including myself. I have met so many fascinating characters over the course of my short career, people that I would never have had the chance to meet otherwise, people who look nothing like me, who are nothing like me, who don't even speak the same language that I speak, but with whom, for at least some short time, I've had the chance to make a connection with, to hear their stories, to share their lives. For me, that is the biggest gift of all and is the greatest joy of being a photojournalist. All right. Thank you for being so patient with that. I was thinking about what would be most useful for a group of young photojournalists, and you all have a particular interest in photography. Is that correct? Yeah? Okay. So the first slideshow I wanted to... Actually, do you want me to talk a little bit about how I got into photography or how I became a photojournalist before I start with that?
Sure.
Yeah? Okay. So as some of you know that I actually was not lucky enough, like some of you are, to get to study journalism and to get to study photography. When I went to college, when I began university, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I thought of what is the thing that I like most, and I love sciences. So I started a major in environmental science, and about halfway through college, my mother, who's being a wonderful mother that she is, she gave me a very nice camera. I had asked her only for a little one that I could take pictures at parties of my friends. And instead, she gave me a nice camera like this, where you can do manual focus, and you can change your aperture and your shutter speeds, all that stuff. And I fell in love with it instantly. I carried the camera everywhere I went. Sometimes I even kept it in the bed with me at night when I went to sleep, because I never wanted to let it out of my sight. And sometimes I even took pictures with when there was no film in the camera, because I didn't have enough money to buy the film. But I love to look at the world through the camera, and just that feeling of seeing the world and capturing these moments, it didn't matter. For me, it was all part of the exercise. When I was in college, we didn't have a photography program. We didn't have a photojournalism program, but I was able to take a couple of photography courses, and they were more geared towards art photography. Introductory photo classes, but my teacher noticed that I had a real interest in people and a real skill for capturing people. So she encouraged me to start working at the school newspaper and also to take a photojournalism workshop. And at this first workshop, this was where I was introduced to some of the most amazing photographers and photojournalists working in the profession at that time. So that It blew my mind. It was unbelievable. I had never known how powerful photojournalism could be until I went to that workshop. And after that, I think it was that day that I realized this is what I want to do with my life. And although I didn't have the opportunity to continue to study that, I did everything that I could possibly do to keep learning, to start learning. You know, I worked at the school newspaper for 2 years, and it's a daily newspaper, much like, you know, many of the newspapers that I would be working at later in my life. We had deadlines every single night. When I worked at the school newspaper, my grades were very bad because I didn't spend enough time studying, and I spent too much time working at the newspaper. After that, I came to the end of my college career, and I had a portfolio of images that I had taken, a portfolio of images taken while in college that was, as you can imagine, a college portfolio. It's not very good because I hadn't been out in the real world. I had just been a student. But I tried at that point. I sent out applications to 35 different newspapers. And at that point, this is kind of a big deal because now it's very easy. You can put all of your images on one disk and send it out in the mail with a little stamp. It costs you 35 cents, maybe. Not too much money. But back then, to make a portfolio, you had to take a page of slides, you have to put it in a book, make a nice presentation. So I sent out 35 of these things, and every single newspaper turned me down. They said, no, you're not good enough. Maybe try next year. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I knew that photography was what I loved. It's the only thing I wanted to do, and I wasn't going to give up at that point. So I found out, I was very lucky to get an internship at a magazine called Newsweek. It's a big news magazine in the United States. But it wasn't as a photographer, it was as a photo editor. So this wasn't what I wanted to do. And I didn't know this, but it turned out to be the best thing that could have happened to me, because from that internship, I got a completely different perspective on what photojournalism is like. I got to see it from the perspective of an editor, from a publication that's actually using and producing very good photojournalism. So it was a wonderful introduction for me. And on my spare time, while I was working at Newsweek, I would still take pictures, and I would go out, I would try to find my own stories. I would take these stories to the Associated Press, which is a wire service like Xinhua or some of the other news agencies you have here, and try to get them to use my pictures. And they said, no, it's okay, but keep trying. And eventually they did. They said yes, and they bought some of my pictures, and they started giving me assignments. And after that, I was able to build a portfolio that was better. And the next year, I applied for internships, and I was able to get one. And I would like to encourage you all to do as many internships as you can. I think it is an essential part of learning, in that you learn so much just by the act of doing. When you're in a newsroom surrounded by working professionals, they don't have to teach you. All you have to do is watch. You have to watch and participate, and it's the best education I think you can get. I think it's wonderful that you're coming out of a university like Renmin, because you have a foundation that I didn't have. This university is going to instill in you the values of journalism. So you're coming into the profession with this tremendous advantage. I always felt like it was a little difficult for me because I had to learn so much once I finished college. And once I had finished my education, I had a whole other education ahead of me. So I spent a lot of time doing internships. I did really 5 internships before I ever got my first job, and that spanned about 2.5 years. So I was, I was pretty old. Maybe you could think of it that was my graduate education, because I didn't end up going to graduate school after that. So that's basically how I get into it. The most important point, I think, is doing the internships. And I talked to your professor, and he was saying that there's something that it's a requirement for everybody. So even if you do that requirement, if there's some way that you can do that and do something extra, do more, I think it's a wonderful experience. So the first slideshow I wanted to show you, I just wanted to talk to you about what is the most basic thing that I could possibly talk to you, and what are the basic elements that make a great photo? What is great photojournalism? And this is something that I'm sure your professor has probably gone over many times, so I apologize if I'm being repetitive. But this is something I think nobody ever told me when I was young. And sometimes I think maybe I wish they had, because I had to figure it out by myself. Maybe that's okay, but it would be nice if somebody explained. And this is nothing I read from a textbook. It's nothing a teacher ever taught me. But these are the things that I've learned over the course of my 10-year career. So I've thought about 5 different things, and the first thing I thought about is what I just call the basics, the fundamentals the way you use your camera technically. Of course, this is important because at the foundation of every single picture you take, there are things like light, composition, the use of color, the way you handle the camera technically, which means the exposure. These are all fundamentals, and maybe this thing? I don't know. Okay. These are all things that I feel like this is what you can learn. This is very important for you to have. Once you leave college, this stuff should be easy. This is the basic stuff. You should know the way light falls on a subject. You should know how to use that light, how to expose for that light. You should understand the basic rules of composition. These are things that your teachers can give to you and give you that head start. It's the fundamentals of what you do as a photojournalist. And I show this one to illustrate. When you have a command of how light works and how your camera works, you can capture a scene. You can take a scene that's mundane, that's kind of boring. Now, this could have been a picture of a man standing in front of an American flag, and it could have looked much like it looks in this room with fluorescent lights. But if you can pay attention to the way the light is, you can transform a boring scene and make it interesting. You make your reader want to read the story, want to look at the picture, want to learn about the subject. Am I going too fast? Yes. I'm sorry. The second thing I want to talk about is the information or the content. And this is also the story. Every picture tells a story. You want every picture to convey some information, to teach you a little bit about the subject or the situation. I show this one just as an example because it's not a typical way to convey information. It's what we call a detail. And this was a story we did about Native American boxers in a state called South Dakota. And I like to pay attention to what's going on everywhere. And many times if you're thinking of a story about boxers, you'd want to see them punching and fighting. And when I came to this place, I looked on the ground, and these are all children that are boxers, very young people. And I looked on the ground, and the boxing ring is covered with blood, covered with blood. And to me, it was a way for my camera to go back in time, the way I said it's impossible to do, because this told a story about how many fights had happened on this boxing ring, and how many young people had bled on this ring. And I found that very interesting. And it doesn't tell the whole story, but it's one picture in the form of an essay. And I'll show you that essay later. But it's one part of the story that can give you information in a different and interesting way. And if we go back to the technical skills from the previous one, when I'm thinking about taking this picture, I'm thinking, I want a slow shutter speed, because I want you to know that it's active. It's an active situation. If I had taken a fast shutter speed and the foot was still, maybe you'll just think he's standing there and it won't have the same kind of effect. So this is both getting into story and the basics, into the way you use your camera. And the third thing, and these aren't necessarily in any particular order, but one of the most crucial things, most important things in still photography, and I think one of the most wonderful things about still photography, is the moment. And this is the reason I think still photography, and I hope photojournalism, will always be relevant. People ask me, will video sometime take over photography? And I said no. Because video is a completely different medium. It serves a completely different purpose. And in still photography, you can capture one moment in time that is only 1/24th of a second, a very small fraction of 1 second. And this moment can live forever. And I have two examples when I'm talking about moment. The first one is, it's a moment of action, of peak action. This is something that if you looked at, you would never see this. You would never see that moment. In the blink of an eye, it would be gone. This is at a prison rodeo in Louisiana in the southern United States. It's an event that they hold every year where inmates, people who have been convicted of murder and robbery, very serious crimes, once a year they let them participate in this event. But moment doesn't have to be about a peak action. It can be quiet and soft and subtle. And the moment here is a moment in time as the curtain is closing on a ballerina in Cuba. And at this particular moment, when the curtain crosses her hand, it just leaves the elegant gesture of her hand as she bows to say goodbye, and her dress to let you know that she's a ballerina. And so moments can mean very different things. Sometimes moments are just an expression, the one moment when a smile appears or a tear erupts. A moment can mean many things, but to me it's the most wonderful thing about photography. And the last couple of things I want to talk about are a little more subtle. They're not quite as obvious. And one of those is connection. Another brilliant thing about photography is that, you know, there's the old cliche that a picture tells 1,000 words. A picture can do what no story can do sometimes. It can let you have this connection with a person. It can give you maybe some kind of understanding of what this person is like, maybe what they're going through, what they were feeling at that moment. If you can feel something, if you can feel this connection, if you gain a better understanding from somebody, from the photographs that you can take, it's a wonderful thing. And you've done your newspaper or your news service, your readers, you've done them a great service because you've told the story, you've told about this person in an interesting way and in a way that the reader can understand. And the last thing is emotion. If you can make your reader feel something, whether it's joy or anger, sadness, if you can make them laugh with your picture, if you can bring them with you to the place that you went, and if they can empathize with the people you photographed, this is a very important part of a picture, and I think one of the most difficult things to do as a photojournalist. All right. So I'm going to show you some of my, a few stories that I've worked on recently. This is all stuff that I've worked on pretty much in the past year. You know, when I talk about these five elements that make up a good picture, if on any day I can have maybe two of those elements in a good picture, two or three, I feel very happy. I think it's very, very difficult to get all five at once in one picture or in one essay, but this is what we're always looking for. If you can capture all those elements in one body of photojournalism, you're doing a good job. So the first thing I'm going to show you is 20 images from my coverage of Barack Obama's campaign for the presidency in 2008. And this was these are the 20 pictures that we submitted for Pulitzer consideration. So you may have seen these pictures, may not. I won't spend too much time on this because I'd like to show you some other pictures too. This is a very simple picture, but it's one that it became sort of iconic for the campaign. It was at a campaign rally in Pennsylvania, very late in the election season, and we're very used to seeing a presidential candidate in a suit and tie, very formal, inside a stadium or an auditorium. And this event was different because it was horrible weather and it was an outdoor event. And he didn't cancel the event, but he went on and spoke in the rain. And people had waited for hours to see him speak. And he came up and he gave a very powerful speech, and he was very defiant. And at that moment, it sort of highlighted the differences between the two campaigns, that he had energized the young people in the United States. And then this photo demonstrated his own youth and vigor. And this was one of those people that had waited for so long for him in that crowd that morning. When I was covering the campaign, I tried also always to look around everywhere. This scene I found in Texas. As members of the traveling press, when you're covering a campaign, you go everywhere with your candidate. When we arrived at this high school, we all get off the bus, and Senator Obama then also gets off the bus, and I have a choice. I can point my camera at Senator Obama and have another picture of him. I've been covering him for months and months and months. We've run many pictures in the newspaper about him, about all the other candidates. So I have a choice to look at him, or I have a choice to look around and see what the environment is. And many times, I would much rather look around and see how the people are reacting, how the people are feeling. And on this day, the children were so excited at this high school. They came running through the field, and through their forms, their expressions, you understood what was happening, and you could feel that Obama was there without ever having to see him.